Hello, fellow Rebel Capitalists. Hope you're well. Boy, if you have not heard about this story, sit down and buckle up. Incredible what is going on in Europe right now with these farmers. Josh just sent this story over to me. I had read just some headlines over the last couple of days, but this story is just shocking, to say the least. Let's check this out. And what this tells us moving forward is you should expect much higher food prices. I don't know what is going to happen in the next month or two. That's unknowable. There's too many variables. But what I can tell you is that in the next 5 years, 10 years, this is going to be a big, big problem. And when I'm talking about this, I'm talking about food. I mean, I just did a whiteboard video yesterday and today. It will be out tonight about the dollar just crushing these global economies because it's appreciating in value. And one of the big problems is commodities are settled in dollars. But I mean, the way this is going with this agenda of the global elite, it doesn't matter how many dollars you have, you might not be able to get food at any price. So let's dive into this article and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Here we go. Dutch farmers launch revolt against climate rules threatening to end their livelihoods. Do you blame them? And if I'm not mistaken, I think we've seen these protests, for lack of a better word, in all over Europe. And if we haven't, we will. Because if this climate change narrative is coming down from the Davos types, and it's filtering through the politicians, and then the politicians are really pandering to the useful idiots. I did a whole presentation on this at Mark Moss's event on how this whole domino effect or this daisy chain actually works. But we'll shelf that for right now and just get into the specifics of this article and then try to think through what this means long term for the economy, the European economy, global economy, but the global price of food, and maybe better said, the global availability of food. And I want to give, before we move any further, I want to give credit to Chris McIntosh, because he is one of my partners on Rebel Capitalist Pro. So if you haven't checked out Rebel Capitalist Pro, I don't know what on earth you're waiting for. It's just georgegammon.com/pro. He's been talking about this since I started Rebel Capitalist Pro back in 2020. And this, I mean, this climate change narrative, increasing the regulations on farmers. Therefore, we have fewer farmers. Therefore, we have a hell of a lot less food. So Dutch farmers use tractors to block roads and supermarket distribution networks to protest government mandated emissions reductions that threaten their livelihoods Monday. And again, as I'm reading through this, guys, even if you're someone that says, you know what, climate change is a big problem, we need to do something about it, fine. I completely respect that view. This is a view of one of my very good friends, Art Berman. And I don't know of anyone that I respect more than Art. And but you have to do a cost-benefit analysis, and Art does this well. And he's done this on we've had the opportunity to go back and forth in conversations in some of our interviews on this topic and doing a simple cost-benefit analysis. And this is one of the reasons why I think it's so important that we read Thomas Sowell's book, A Conflict of Visions, I believe it is, where he talks about the constrained view versus the unconstrained view. And I'm not going to go into it now. Definitely check it out when this video is done. You can get a short summary of it just, I'm sure, by Googling. But I am a person who really believes in the constrained view. And this is that there are no solutions. There are only alternatives. Again, a quote from Thomas Sowell. And that we as human beings are imperfect. We live in an imperfect world. Therefore, most of the decisions that we have to make are not decisions of what is the best, but what is the least worst or the least bad decision. And we also have to recognize that in an effort to make things better, most often we are going to make things worse. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't try to advance society forward. That's not what I'm saying at all. But we have to be cognizant of a cost-benefit analysis, and we also have to be cognizant of our imperfections. And we have to realize that there is no utopia. It doesn't exist. And to a certain point, if you try to move the needle further, you're only going to make things worse. Let me give you an example. We are always going to have homeless people. It is what it is. So I'm not saying that we shouldn't try to alleviate homelessness, but we have to recognize that we can't eradicate it. So because if we get to a certain level, let's say a 1% homelessness rate, that's as good as we can do. And I don't know where that number is, but I'm just using this as an example. Because anything that we do to try to eradicate the last remaining 1% of homelessness, we're going to make things worse. Maybe not for the homeless people, but for the rest of society. Because again, we're dealing with scarce resources with alternative uses. So this is why it's so important that we always remember there are no solutions, there are only alternatives. What that means is you've always got to do a cost-benefit analysis. And at a certain point, you have to accept the imperfections of human beings and the world in which we live, therefore the systems that we have. And this is something that is completely lost on the, not all, but most of the climate change individuals. They come from this worldview that Thomas Sowell would categorize as unconstrained, meaning that the only limits to human progression are humans themselves. And if we just get better people in charge, and if we just think of better ways to do X, Y, and Z, well, we can achieve this state of utopia. And again, to a certain degree, I'm on board. I love tech. Let's make lives better. But we also need to constantly be asking ourselves if we're not making things worse. And I'm not saying that the climate change narrative is making things worse when it's done through the when it's done by the do-gooders, let's say, in society, by the individuals. Now, when it's being pushed by the global elite, completely different story. That there is no good intentions there. This is just simply them trying to usurp power, control, and going back to that chart of limited resources, you know, of oil and the energy use globally going up exponentially with the population and global GDP, and them realizing that that's unsustainable. I don't want to get way off topic here, but the bottom line is the do-gooders truly believe that we need to impact climate change positively, and more power to them. But the global elite, they're not in that group. They're just using this as a Trojan horse. They don't care about the temperatures in the ocean. They don't care about the emissions reductions. They're just all about their objectives, which have nothing to do with the benefit of society, I can tell you that. Hey guys, I want to remind you to check out Rebel Capitalist Pro. This is the incredible online investment forum that I have with investment experts Lynn Alden and Chris McIntosh. It includes professionals such as Patrick Serezna from Macro Voices. He specializes in options. Tony Greer, commodity trading. Jason Hartman, real estate. And Brent Johnson with macroeconomics. If you want to build wealth and thrive in this world of out-of-control central banks and big governments, Rebel Capitalist Pro is the resource you need. So check it out today at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. We'll see you inside with the fellow rebel capitalists that are taking their investing to the next level. So the farmers have dumped hay bales on the roads, left manure outside government officials' homes. Good. Blocked highways and other critical infrastructure to protest the regulations. The honest message is not all farmers can continue their business. Can you imagine being a politician and saying that out loud? And your rationale is that there's something bad that may happen in the future. again, I'm all for clean air and I love nature. I love being out hiking and being in the environment, but we're talking about probabilities here. We're not talking about certainties. There are too many variables with the environment and climate change to say definitively 100% the world is going to come to an end or X amount of people are going to die by whatever, let's say 2050, right? And by the way, let's just assume that you say, okay, if we don't do something about climate change right now, then 1 billion with a B, people are going to die by 2050 as a result of climate change. Okay, fair point. This goes right back to constrained and unconstrained cost-benefit analysis. What if by trying to prevent climate change and those 1 billion people dying, we kill 2 billion people because they starve to death? See, my point, it's we're not looking at what's the best solution. We're looking at what's the least bad solution. Hopefully, you guys see kind of my position here. Getting back to the article. And again, I cannot believe a politician would say this out loud. The honest message is that not all farmers can continue their business. Gosh, if you were a farmer, what would you do? I mean, I would be right there with him. I mean, how about going to that politician's house and saying, F you, F you. I mean, who are you to tell me? How about this? Not all politicians can continue being politicians. Let's start there. Before we get to the farmers, you know, firing them and telling them that they can't do business, let's fire the damn politicians if we really want to make the world a better place. So this is a message from the government. He said in June statement announcing the new emissions targets, the farmers contend that they are being unfairly targeted by regulation and losing out on future prospects. Right, but listen, this doesn't just impact the farmers. We just somehow assume that food grows on like just the food fairies come in and bring us food, just like manna from heaven. Hello, you know, politicians, if you fire all the farmers, what happens to the food? Jeez. This is why I always go back to this view that politicians are just the bottom of the barrel. They are literally the dregs of our society. Just think about because they know damn well what they're doing. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and believe that they're too stupid to understand that this is going to cause food shortages and at the very least food prices to go up that will impact who? The poor and middle class disproportionately. They have to know this. But yet they're doing it anyway. Why? To gain power? To stay in power? To usurp? I mean, it's the third objective there on my list, going back to my presentation I gave at Mark Moss's event. It's reduce, and I'm not saying the politicians. The politicians, some of them I think are in bed with the Klaus types, as horrific an image that may be, but I think most of them are just at the third objective, which is usurp power, control wealth, period. So going back, citing the ruling, the Dutch government introduced targets last month to halve nitrogen oxide and ammonia emissions, both of which represent large quantities in livestock manure. So this is why they want you to eat bugs. I know it sounds funny, but this is how they're pitching it, that we've got to get rid of protein. We've got to get rid of all of these bad cows, and who cares? Just eat larvae or whatever the hell it's called, larva. And you're doing this in the name of something that has a certain probability in which we cannot be sure of. It just, wow. It's the same thing as the mandates back with the cervasa sickness. Exact same thing. You have to come to the conclusion that when you do a cost-benefit analysis, this makes no sense at all. And if it makes no sense, then there's an ulterior motive. The ministry told the DCNF that it is working with farmers to look at new ways of doing business with innovation, relocation. This is where, if I was a farmer, I would lose my mind. I would absolutely go ballistic, as if some bureaucrat is going to be able to give me some sort of revelation from Mount Sinai that I haven't thought of before. That's like right now, a politician coming to me and saying, George, you know what? We're going to have to shut down your YouTube channel, but you're going to have to make half the videos you're making now, but we're going to show you how you can improve the existing videos that you're doing to get more views. As if I hadn't thought about that before. As if someone that has never been in farming or someone that's never produced a YouTube video is somehow going to show me something that I haven't already thought of or tried. I mean, talk about condescending. I mean, my goodness, that would really fire me up. I mean, I would already be pissed, but that would send me over the edge. Think about how arrogant you have to be and how detached from reality. And think about how much, I mean, I hate to use profanity or foul language on this channel, but think about how much of an asshole you have to be to actually say this to a farmer that oh, don't you worry, little farmer. We're going to help you do things that you've never thought of, and we're going to help you innovate because you were too stupid to do that before. Jeez. I've got a tweet here from a gentleman named Malcolm Roberts. This is the end path of climate change activism. You can see this picture of the farmers here. Eventually, everything has to be stopped, even our food supply. Here you go. Exactly what I was saying before. So let's kill 2 billion people to save a billion. Dutch farmers are protesting new rules that will close farms and force them to kill off livestock. I didn't know they had to do that. So they got to actually kill their livestock. Where's PETA in all of this, right? I always see all the PETA types that are saying that you should be vegan, be vegan, be vegan. And you always see those videos of cows going into a slaughterhouse and how horrific that is. But yet, I don't want to completely generalize, but I would assume that a lot of these PETA types are also the climate activist types. So why are we not sticking up for the cows now? Why is it we're just sticking up for the cows when us humans are the bad guys, right? Now all of a sudden we want to kill off all the cows. And we were on their side before, but now, unfortunately, you know, we're not on their side. It's just again, there's no way to connect these dots. A rational person cannot look at this and say, oh yeah, I think that makes perfect sense. So I guess this is a group called We Are Protesters. The shelves of several supermarkets are already starting to empty in the Netherlands as farmers across the country. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe this is a picture from the Cerveza sickness. Maybe it's fake news. But regardless, even if this isn't a picture as of right now, and maybe even if it isn't a direct result of what's happening with the farmers, I can guarantee you this is what the future holds if the politicians keep going down this path. Listen, you could ask a third grader, what happens to all the food, or what happens to the supply of food if you don't have any farmers? It's as simple as that. Over the weekend, the Dutch government appointed Johan Remkes to lead talks between farmers and government officials responsible for crafting emission reductions regulations. Dutch Farming Lobby LTO describes Remkes as an administrative heavyweight with deep knowledge. Okay. I mean, hopefully the guy knows what he's talking about. I mean, I would argue if he had that deep of knowledge, he'd be making tons of money as a farmer in the first place. But I don't know. Hopefully this is, at least they're willing to talk, I guess. So there's room for optimism. And, you know, at the end of the day, there's far more of us than there is of them. And, you know, what my good buddy Eric Townsend was saying on our last interview, that people are now starting to recognize the cost of this climate change narrative because it's hitting them and it's impacting their pocketbook. And my guess is that, or hopefully, once this affects the European people and it affects their pocketbook and they can't get food and the shelves are barren, they're going to say, hey, wait a minute. Maybe we shouldn't have fired those farmers. Let's see what they're doing. You see, the problem there is in the interim, the farmers get other jobs. And then you go back and say, hey, farmers, we want you to do business again. And they give you the finger because they're doing something else. And why on earth would they want to go back to their farming gig when they know it could just be taken away from them just at the whim of some bureaucrat? This is going to be a long-term problem, guys. I mean, I hate to say that, but this is the direction we're going. So that said, if you want to, you know, make money, as callous as that may seem, that's kind of our job as investors. If you want to make money on the insanity of government policy moving forward, you're going to have to start figuring out what is going to go up in price as a result of the insanity. And again, that's exactly what we're talking about in Rebel Capitalist Pro. But even if you don't, decide to be a part of Rebel Capitalist Pro, at least follow Chris McIntosh. I don't know if he's got like a free blog or maybe Twitter or something like that, because he's been talking about this for years. And I can assure you he will continue to talk about it moving into the future. And his Twitter handle is, I believe, @capitalist. Exploits, something like that, on Twitter. In fact, let me just pull it up for you real quick here, because you guys really need to be following Chris on this topic for sure, and many other topics, but here we go. So it's Capitalist EXP, @CapitalistEXP. That's Chris McIntosh. Definitely give him a follow, guys. To stay current on what's happening with the farmers and what will most likely happen with food prices and, how you can, as callous as it may seem, better your position to make sure that you are more resilient against these insane government policies by at least increasing your purchasing power. So you can, if you can't do anything for the farmers, at least you can do everything in your power to help your family. All right, guys, as always, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism.